Good afternoon. Welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. We are on game week 35, episode 20. Number 20.
It's special. It's a special one.
You've got your Ribena.
Got my Ribena. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I already drank mine because I was parched.
Oh, I'm saving mine for a little bit later on for lunchtime.
There we go. So we faced Chelsea, but that's not the outcome.
We're not going to talk about that.
It was a much changed side. We're going to talk about the Trent situation. He's made it clear and obvious now, hasn't he? He's on his way. Well, he hasn't said where, but he will not be renewing at Liverpool. And it's a big one for us.
Advanced talks. So I read this morning with Real Madrid. So, I mean, obviously that's,
yeah.
I don't think he's not going to sign a contract without having somewhere to go. The talk's been there for ages, but yes, it's finally been confirmed. He came out and said it himself in a video and it is what it is. I mean,
how do you feel?
I would have been happy if he had stayed. Obviously, his creativity. There's no other right back in the world, I don't think, who can ping the ball around like he can.
Okay, can I give you a few statistics?
Go for it.
You know, all-time Premier League assist by defender. Number one is Trent, 64. Behind him, weirdly, Andy Robertson. There we go.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
But not weird. And third place is Leighton Baines. So it's like a, you know, it's a Scouser, it's a Merseyside thing over there. All-time Premier League involvements by a defender. Leighton Baines is number one, but second place with 82 is Trent. Another piece of statistic. So since his debut, only Kevin De Bruyne, Son Heung-min, Salah have assisted more. Trent is top of those statistics in terms of chances created, assist. We're losing a big player, aren't we?
We are, in terms of what he can do in that regard, yeah.
Yeah.
But as we've seen this season, look at his stats for this season and how much he's contributed in terms of assists. It's nowhere near what he was doing under Klopp.
Before.
So for our system, for us now moving forward under Slot, it so much of a big thing? Yes, of course, you're still going to miss the creativity, just the way he can ping the ball around and switch play. I mean, it's incredible watching him do it. Yes, set pieces as well, which he can, you know, he's got pretty decent with set pieces, right?
Free kicks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we're missing that. But I think in the way that we're going to be playing moving forward, they're not expecting the fullbacks to push forward as much, to do as much overlapping, to bomb down the wings like they were before, which I think has hurt Robertson because that's kind of what he's used to doing. But more defensive solidity, I think, is what we're going for with the ability to cross a ball. So I think in that regard, maybe we might be moving into... Or it might not be so bad for us.
It might not be. And I've said before, I feel like losing Trent, it's, you know, I feel like we're losing a generational defender. I don't want to say player, but he's a generational defender. Not very often you get a defender who can do the things that he can do with the ball. I know they've compared him to Beckham. I think De Bruyne is the best with the ball, and Trent is a very, very close second. I think we're losing a great generational defender, but it does mean we can play in a much more, I want to say, orthodox, traditional sense, you know, with having, because come on, look around the world, where are you having right backs who are pinging the ball the way that Trent pings the ball? You don't get that. And we've been lucky, we've been really, really privileged having that. But I think we have to move forward. You know, did you read his statement about why, you know, watch his video and why he's moving on?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. And you know what? I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not... You know, he's got to live his own life. If he wants to go on do something new and have new adventures,
here we go.
New surroundings, and fair play to him. He's leaving Liverpool as a very good servant. He has served us well.
20 years he's been with the club.
Exactly. And he's won us everything, right?
Not
him on his own, obviously,
him,
but
no,
he's been part of a team that has won
exactly.
us everything.
He's a local boy.
It's a shame because you want those local boys to stay. I get that.
But,
I get why people are disappointed because, of course, you want him to stay. But ultimately, it's his life, and he should do what he wants to do. And if he stays and he lives to regret that, which he might well do.
Let's not. No.
No, but you never know. He could. No, I mean, in terms of missed opportunities.
Missed opportunity. Listen, I don't think he regrets anything because he's won, two Premier Leagues. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Super Cup. He's won the Club World Championship. He's won League Cup, twice. He's won the FA Cup. He's won everything he needs to win with the Liverpool side. And I think I don't think he'll be looking at that regret.
He's not going to regret what he's done. No. I'm saying he might regret when he retires if he stayed with Liverpool his whole time. It's like, you know, I have won everything. And, you know, he would undoubtedly win even more.
Yeah.
But hey, I could have spent a bit of time in Spain, you know, enjoyed a bit of sunshine.
I think so.
Played in a different league, had a bit more experience in my life. You only get one life,
Exactly. I think I completely agree with that. I think I use the analogy. I think it feels like a family member coming to you telling you, hey, I love the family, but I actually want to move to Spain. And your family is like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And I think that's why maybe we feel hurt. Liverpool supporters might feel a little bit, I don't know. Disappointed is a word that's being thrown around. And I can't say I'm disappointed because it's like you said, it's his life. And I don't like, you know, your Jamie Carragher saying, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed like a parent. It's just, it's harsh. I think let the boy live his life, you know?
Absolutely.
I think so.
It's a bit of a double-edged sword because I think in one aspect, if you stay at Liverpool, you're an absolute legend and they will build statues of you probably, right? And that is, so yes, you have this lovely legacy that you leave behind, but maybe, as I said before, maybe you miss out on some opportunities that would have been good for your life in general that give you more experiences. So, I mean...
Do you think he isn't a legend as it stands?
I don't think he'll be remembered as one, no.
Ooh.
He'll be remembered as a very, very good player for us.
Does he get into, for example, the all-time great teams of Liverpool at that right-back position? Let's think.
As it stands now.
Historically, you know, who do we think of right-back? Steve Finnan for me, weirdly. Steve Finnan playing right-back. But, you know, outside of like who do you put in that right-back position if you have an all-time great Liverpool side?
Since I've been following Liverpool, and remember when I started following them, we weren't all that good, and we weren't really.
No,
well, we had some good times along the way, but we had some pretty crazy teams. I remember Rob Jones. I'm pretty sure he was right back when back in the 90s.
Arbeloa, remember him, Spanish fella?
Yeah, he did pretty well when he moved on. Actually, and he didn't really light it up for Liverpool, did he? But
he did okay, but not Liverpool great. So. Does Trent get into an all-time Liverpool great team? Is he remembered 20 years from now?
I think he'll be remembered. Tough. He'll be remembered as a decent player, but
fondly
to get to legendary status,
top echelon.
Yeah, I mean that being said, I think it depends on the era that you're a fan because
I think
if you've grown up as a child with Trent playing.
Mm.
You're going to remember him more fondly. As I say, Robbie Fowler was my hero growing up. And even though he left, I mean, he didn't leave necessarily of his own accord. He was more pushed out.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I think if he had stayed, he would have gone on to be one of the greatest goal scorers in league history if he had stayed at Liverpool.
But
for me, he will always be a legend. But ultimately, do other people think he's a legend? I know, obviously, they called him God, but I mean, you don't really get that.
You don't get called God for no reason, do you?
So he probably is considered a legend.
Yes.
It's tricky, isn't it? For me, definitely, he'll always be a legend, and I think other people consider him one.
Mm.
And probably maybe because of the way he left as well. Will Trent be considered a legend? I'm not sure.
No.
Only time can tell, but I think he'll certainly be remembered as a very good player.
Bit more than very good, I think. I think an outstanding player.
I think for me, it's people will always look back at it and say, well, you know, he was a great attacking fullback.
Generational talent.
But again, the one question mark that always hangs over, and maybe unfairly in a lot of aspects, is the same one that I... Yeah, and you know what I'm going to say.
Defensively.
Yeah, it's defensive frailties, right? So
hold on, but we bang on about Trent defensively. You know, he's not the best defence at. But actually, there's a statistic here about possession won by defenders since his debut. Top of the list is Lewis Dunk, weirdly. Second on the list, Trent. Actually, fifth on the list is Virgil van Dijk. So that rhetoric about him not being very good defensively, I think that's something that's been perpetuated by your past professionals and everything else and pundits. Yeah, he's not the best, but has he actually been the worst?
Possession's one from the press, right? Again, probably all those statistics coming under Klopp because what he would do is win the ball back high up the pitch, kind of get the ball comes over, he just
dings it.
Yeah, exactly. He picks it up quickly and then makes something happen, which is great. And that pressing football is incredible.
Mm.
I think it's more about what he does in his own box near his goal.
Concentration,
lack of awareness behind him. I mean, so many times you see the ball go over his shoulder or whatever, and he doesn't know the person's coming in behind him.
Yeah.
And we get caught out. I've seen it a number of times myself. So I think it's more those things that, marking, stuff like that sometimes gets a little bit lost. I think those are the things that people have issues with.
Will he have to worry about that at Real Madrid? Probably not, because I think the way Real Madrid play, I don't think they're putting a lot of responsibility on him defensively. I think his primary job going to that Real Madrid side, and I think, the statistics show that they've missed Toni Kroos, for example. He's going in there to create. He's going in there to make goals for your Mbappes, for your Vinicius Juniors, whoever else, for Bellingham. And, fair play to him. Anyway, we're talking too much about Trent now. I think
with what you're saying, if that's the case, then he's going to do very well, isn't he?
I think
if that's what they want him for, and it's like, right, we've brought you in, yes, defend, but more just create stuff. Ping the ball around, get players on the ball, help us to score more goals. And if that's the case, then, I'm sure he's going to do very, very well.
So, thank you, Trent, for your 20 years service. Thank you for everything. We appreciate that, and good luck. I would say good luck, but I think we've lost better players, we've lost worse players, and here we are as a club. We move forward.
Yeah.
So there we go.
What Bradley takes the?
I think Bradley takes the mantle, and possibly maybe someone else coming in as a backup, because I've always worried about Bradley in terms of fitness. Playing. Does Bradley have 38 games in a season? He's still young, but I think Bradley gives us, I think Bradley, defensively, he's solid. Offensively, he is very good. And I think what we have in Bradley is your more orthodox, conventional right back. And he's not going to be pinging 50-yard passes like Trent. Yeah. Show me a defender doing that right now in the world. Of course, they don't really exist. But I think Bradley's fine. I think we move forward with Bradley, just like we moved forward with other players filling in positions that we've lost. So,
yeah, he likes getting behind as well.
He does,
cool. He likes to make those runs in behind, which is also quite dangerous.
He does. Okay, there we go. So, apparently there were other games played in the Premier League, weren't there, right?
Yeah, I think there is other football going on.
I think so.
I think there are other teams.
I forget sometimes, because I'm not really that interested. But into second to 20th place. Who is in second place these days? Oh, it's Arsenal, who can't buy a win for their life, can they?
No, that might be short-lived as well.
I saw that coming. I felt like, listen, Arsenal supporters, I'm really sorry to say this, but if a full-strength Arsenal side is going to struggle against a very, very good Bournemouth side, what hope do they have against PSG? At home, PSG in Paris, who are tough side to play against. I'm sorry, but I might eat my words, but I don't give Arsenal much of a chance in this Champions League draw.
Cup games, European games, you never know. Of course, it's difficult. I wouldn't want to say no, they're not going to do it, because if they turn up, they can absolutely win it. But you would certainly imagine that it's going to be a little bit too much for them.
Yeah, but also at the same time, 4 points separates Arsenal in fifth place?
Yeah.
Is there potential they could lose second spot?
I think they could. I mean, look, if we turn up, because obviously we didn't turn up in the last game. Well, I'll say, we did rotate a lot. We brought in
a lot of different
players that haven't played an awful lot. But if we put a good team out, a good strong team out, and we turn Arsenal over, which I hope we do, then Man City, you would imagine, will win against Southampton.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's talk top four. The rest of the, let's talk, top five even. Arsenal, their run-in looks like this. They've got Liverpool, Newcastle, and they end the season against Southampton.
Okay, Man's potential two losses there. Newcastle could turn them over as well.
I think Newcastle could turn them over, and that, let's see what happens with that, because they must be looking to beat. They have to win those games, because an Arsenal side finishing fourth or fifth place, that could look like a failure of a season for them. Okay, Man City, Southampton, Bournemouth, Fulham. Those last two games could be tough, but City have been on form.
Yeah, they've found form towards the end, haven't they?
Yeah, so they have.
I would expect them probably to get results.
So you think City obviously stays in the top four?
I think they probably will.
Okay.
I think we've got Newcastle, Chelsea next. If one of those wins, I expect Forest to win. Forest will then move up to fifth. Mm. Goal difference will hurt them if it's a draw. Because if Newcastle and Chelsea draw, Forest win, they'll stay in the same position, but they'll be joint on points. Okay. So it'll come down to the last two games of the season for Forest to get back to their third spot. So, but again, definitely doable. So
what about Newcastle? Well, Newcastle-Chelsea, that looks like it's going to be a straight fight for top four with those two. But Newcastle, obviously, they've got, Chelsea, Arsenal and Everton. That's a tough, tough last game for the season. Everton, it's Everton at home, luckily. If it was Everton away, that would be harder. Obviously, Everton, last game at Goodison Park. But, you know, what do you think about Newcastle finishing in the top four? Because that's, you know, they've got a bit of a hold on the top, on the fourth place position, but it'll be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it could really go either way, couldn't it? I'm looking at Forest. Forest got Chelsea last game of the season. Well, that could be a very, very big game.
Yeah.
But in fairness, they've had a couple of bad results, haven't they?
They have.
They've not been great in the last couple. Newcastle.
I think Chelsea have the toughest run in, but it's Newcastle.
Yeah.
United somewhere. United somewhere in the middle. I'm sorry for laughing.
Newcastle, and Chelsea, Forest, Arsenal, Newcastle.
To end the season. And then you've got, obviously, Villa, and you don't really know what you're going to get with the Villa side. It's been a bit disappointing. You know, they were absolutely trounced in the FA Cup against Palace. That was a surprise, 3-0. But Villa have Bournemouth, tough game, but Spurs and United to end the season. And these are two teams who are potentially, could be in the Champions League next season. We're finishing in, 16th and 15th place? But they've got one eye in the Europa League final. So anything could happen with Villa as well.
This is the thing. I think the excitement is who's going to finish in the top four. I mean, who's going to finish in
second to fifth.
Yeah, exactly. That's the excitement, because it could be anybody's, couldn't it?
It could be anybody's. It goes
all the way down to Villa.
So it goes either way. I think it's
big games coming up for that
massive
fight as well.
Massive games. And, you know, let's see what happens. Obviously, the relegation battle is done and dusted. Southampton are really just playing for pride, not to be considered one of the worst Premier League sides in history. I think they need at least one more point, because they're currently level on points with the worst side in Premier League history, which is, any idea?
I feel like I know it, but I can't remember.
You want to say Derby? They were shocking. I think they ended the season on 11 points or something of that nature. So there we go. Leicester City, Jamie Vardy. He's announced this. That's the other big news from the previous week. Jamie Vardy was having a party. He's done. He's old. He's by footballing terms. He's old.
Come on, let's be.
Calm
that down a bit.
Let's calm it down. He's not that old, but he's 37, 38. By footballing terms, he is a granddad. And yeah, there's something random. Did you see the game? Referee got knocked out or something like that.
He blew the whistle.
When they asked him why, he said, "I could see the Southampton guys breaking down the flanks." So he blew the whistle, not because of the well-being of the ref, just because he was trying to stop the play. So there we go. Jamie Vardy is an absolute character. But where do teams like Leicester, Ipswich, Southampton go? Because obviously, I'm not sure if you keep an eye on the Championship. Luton, who, remember last season where Luton was?
Got relegated. Yeah.
Double relegation. Is that first time it's ever happened?
Not sure. But that's really bad, isn't it?
I'm sure.
You're flying high. Two seasons later, you're
in League One.
Yeah. Football's a cruel game, or it can be.
It's cruel, crazy game. And I think Southampton will be looking at that and thinking, we have to avoid that. But where do these teams go? Because it just seems like it's a yo-yo. The teams coming back up are going right back down again. Like Leeds have announced they're keeping Farke. And why did that need to be said? Are they worried about managers like that being able to keep them in the league? And also, why do they have to come out and say, we will be keeping you for next season?
For me, I think if a manager gets you up, I think you give them the respect to try and keep you up.
To keep them there?
Yeah. I mean, I know they're so desperate to stay in, sometimes changing a manager is a good thing. I think you have to be very clever about when you do I think if you're going to change, like you do it before the window, so yeah, that the potentially change is there. Or you just give, look, you got us up, try and keep us up. If you don't, you don't. It is what it is. You know, the Football Manager terminology, battle bravely against relegation.
That's what they say.
Yeah, but we expect you to battle bravely against relegation. So, yeah, I just give them a go. Go on then, try and stay up. But it's so difficult now.
It is.
To keep, for any team, they come up, they go back down. They come up, they go back down. It would be nice for somebody to break in.
Yeah.
But it's really quite.
Of the two coming difficult. Up, do you see any of those two staying up?
I don't know because I don't know enough about their sides. And obviously it depends what business they do. Because it's all about smart business, isn't it? You've got to go up, have enough about you to sign players that are going to be able to...
I mean, Ipswich kind of had some business, but probably not enough in terms of Premier League. Players to keep them up.
The managers also have to be smart. We talked about tactics.
Yeah.
And it's very admirable to go out there and be like, right, we're going to play our game.
Sticking to your guns.
And that's fine. And you know, it's got you up there. Fantastic. Yeah. But you're going to have to adapt your style of play.
Can't be naive.
Unless, of course, you manage to get some incredible signings
that
are really at Premier League level that are going to allow you to play that way, then you're going to have to be smart about it. Yeah. So it depends. We know Farke's come up before with Norwich, and then obviously Norwich went back down again.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's gone up. Has he learned from his mistakes last time? I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out, won't we?
Who knows? Lampard could be coming up with Coventry. Who knows?
Yeah. He picked him up in, 17th, I think.
Yeah.
Had a really, really good spell with them.
Very good
spell. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What about current Premier League sides that you feel could be under threat, potentially being in a relegation battle next season?
Oh, Man U, Spurs. I mean,
all right. Jokes aside.
No, I honestly look at the level.
Yeah.
And I think the teams that you used to think might struggle, or teams that certainly would have been there or thereabouts, the Bournemouths and teams like that, they're strong teams now.
Yeah.
With good managers.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I look at this and I think, well, Bournemouth had a great season. Brentford always seem to be able to score goals against you.
They do.
Okay, maybe defensively they're
very good manager though.
But they've got a very good manager. Yep. And they look at Palace have become, and I remember when Palace first came up a number of years ago, and they would go up and down for quite a while. There was quite a spell.
I think Palace are one of those dark horse sides who, you know, you never really know what you're going to get with them. I don't think they almost definitely shouldn't be in a relegation battle next season because they've got a very good manager, but they've got solid players. So Palace are one of those ones where, you know, you could potentially see Palace doing, let's say, a Bournemouth, for example, having a very, very good season, and they could be pushing into that Europa League position.
I think what it also comes down to, and I think we can look at Wolves as an example of this, is your fixtures at the start of the season.
Oh.
Like, I mean, if you get a really tough run of it, like you're a team that, you know, is decent
on paper,
but you've just had you're getting Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, all these games in your first five or six games, which is pretty much what happened to Wolves at the beginning of the season, and it completely deflated the team. The manager didn't have it about him to pick them back up again, and ultimately it didn't work out for him. But as soon as they brought in a new manager, everybody's lifted, and then, actually, we can play football. And now we get some results, and then they end up finishing probably mid-table.
Which is okay. It's crazy, isn't it? Thinking that Wolves, a team that's been, you know, for at least 70% of this season, if not longer, have been in a relegation fight, and they're going to finish. I want to say well ahead, but ahead of your United, your Spurs, you know, West Ham. That's another one. They're a strange side, West Ham. You never really, you know, they've got a good manager in Potter right now. What's the reference I was looking for?
Harry Potter.
Yes, they've got Potter as their manager. But, you know, where do they go? Where are they going? I don't think teams like that really, you know, do they know?
Again, it's business, isn't it?
It's business.
Let's see how they get on in the summer. Now it's going to be Potter's team next season. So they will be saying, I mean, they will expect, look, at very least mid-table.
Absolutely.
At the very least mid-table finish next season. But push for Europe, I think, is will be the message for West Ham.
It's going
to
be...
With a manager who, to be fair, did a very good job at Brighton.
He did.
Then tried to step up and it didn't work out for him. Necessarily his fault.
The step was too high. I think Brighton to Chelsea is... Well, all due respect, Brighton. I think, you know, for a guy like that stepping up, you know, I think his trajectory was a bit insane. It was a team in Finland or something like that to Brighton and then to Chelsea is a bit of a crazy trajectory to be moving up in.
Yeah, but I think West Ham probably suits him. If he's given a bit of money and, you know, they're smart because they're another team that their signings are a bit hit or miss, aren't they?
They are.
They're not afraid to spend a bit of money, but they're not necessarily great at spending it, I would say. And so I think depending on how much influence he has over the signings, I don't know what the backroom team look like in terms of their scouting department and, you know, technical directors and all that.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, if he's given a chance to build a team, he should be able to.
Should be allowed to.
Yeah, should be allowed to and should be able to get them a decent position.
Honestly, you're looking at the teams and you're thinking the team's coming up. For me, I think they're going right back where they came from. But I think because it looks like an incredibly competitive league. You know, you've got Arsenal will strengthen. City will probably get their act together. We will strengthen. We'll be even stronger next season. Chelsea, I mean, you never really know what you're going to get with Chelsea. But Chelsea
will be... they need to clear out before they can
They need to clear out. You know, you've got, you know, Villa with a very good manager. Bournemouth with a very good manager. Brentford with a very good side and a good manager. Look, lose players, obviously. But it's very competitive next season. It's just...
I'm interested to see what Manchester United are going to do. It's funny to watch them struggle like this. But ultimately, you know, there's a lot of history, certainly between Liverpool and Manchester United. You kind of want it to be a bit more competitive, I think, like in terms of... Just for the sake of that rivalry. But I think I want to see what Amorim does. When he's got a window and they're like, right, we're clearing all these players out. These are the players I want in. This is my system. And I want to see if he can make it work. And that's interesting to me. I think that's going to be an interesting story to see if once he has the players that he wants, there's no excuses. Can he make that system work?
Indeed.
Can he get them firing on all cylinders again? Or was it just another bit of bad business from them bringing in that manager? That intrigues me. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be like next season.
We'll see next season. We'll see for next season. But anyway, Mr. Bailey, thank you. Enjoy that Ribena.
I will.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.